Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Tanu Banan, Kibtzei Atzeret, Ein Mekadshim Et Alechem Ela B'Shechita." So the Kibtzei Atzeret, as we know, are the Shlamim that come on Shavuot. The Shtei Alechem also come on Shavuot. We've already established that there's a close or knit relationship or tight relationship between the Kibtzei Atzeret and the Lechem. And now we have a Braita that tells us how closely knit they are, is that the Lechem itself does not become Kadosh, Elim, with the shechita of the Kibtzei Atzeret. When you shech the Kibtzei Atzeret, that's what imbues them with kedusha. Ketzad. How does that work? Shechatan lishman, v'zarak daman lishman. If you do the shechita properly, and you do the zrikat adam properly, kadash alechem, then the lechem is kadosh. Shechatan shalo lishman. If you do the shechita shalo lishma, means with the wrong intent, you intend for another korban, zarak daman shalo lishman, and you do the same thing with the zrikat adam, lo kadash alechem. In that case, the lechem is not kadosh at all because you failed to bring the Kibtzei Atzeret properly. The Kibtzei Atzeret, when brought properly as shlamim and are kadoshim, then they are mikadesh the lechem. On the other hand, if they're not brought properly, then they're not mikadesh the lechem. But over here is a situation where it gives you both scenarios being the same, meaning that the shechita and the zrika were either lishma, or the shechita and the zrika were lo lishma. So over there it's clear what happens. The question becomes where Shachatan lishman, vizarak daman shalo lishman. In a case where you did the shechita properly, but you did not do the zrika properly. Alechem kadosh, veina kadosh, divrei rabbi. Rabbi says that the lechem is somewhat kadosh over here. The Gemara will discuss what that means, that it has partial kedusha. Balazi Rabbi Shimon omer, dolam, enu kadosh, achi yishchot lishman, vizrok daman lishman. Balazi Rabbi Shimon makes it clear that he doesn't think this works at all. You need shechita lishma, and Zrika Lishma, in order for it to work to be Mikadesh, the Lechem over here. So the Gemara says, my time with the Rabbi. What's the reasoning for Rabbi? Dichtiv. So they quote a pasuk by the Nazir, because by the Nazir also you have Lechem that is brought along with his Korban Shlamim. And about the Korban Shlamim, he has an Ola, Chatat, and a Shlamim. And along with the Shlamim, it says that, et ha'ayo ya'ase zevach Shlamim la'Hashem al sal ha'matzot. So you see that there's this relationship between the ayo, yaseh zevach l'shamim l'Hashem, al salamatzot, that it affects the salamatzot, the memra, the shchita mikadsha. The word that's used in the pasuk is zevach shlamim. We've discussed this numerous times, that the word zevach can mean both zevach in the broader sense of a korban, and most likely a korban shlamim. Zevach also means vicha, means shchita. So here it says, V'ta'aliyah says, Zevach Shlamim Lashem, when you shecht it, Shlamim Lashem, al Salamatzot. That is what is Mikadesh to Salamatzot. So according to Rabbi, the Shechitat HaZevach is what actually creates the Kedusha. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ya'aseh. Hey, the pasuk doesn't just say Zevach Shlamim, it says, V'ta'al Ya'aseh. There are siot here. Aj Yaseh kol asioto. Asiotav, until you do everything that is relevant to the Korban. Rabbi, I'm not Miktiv Yaseh. Rabbi also has the word Yaseh in the puzzle. What's he going to do? He says, Iktiv Zevach Yaseh. Had it written Zevach, and then the word Asiya afterwards, Kedamart. I would have concluded like you said. Hashtid Iktiv Yaseh Zevach. Here the order is reversed, where the Yaseh goes before the Zevach. But my Yaseh, it's defining for you what the Asiyot that are needed over here, which is Bizvicha. It's almost the equivalent of what we'd call Klalu Prat, which is that you have a general statement, Yaseh, do it. What do you do? Zevach, Zvicha, which is Shechita. That's what the Asiyah is in the pasuk, according to Rabbi, is the Zvicha, the Shechita. Therefore, for Rabbi, it's sufficient that you have Zvicha, Shechita, in order to be Mekadesh Alechem. It's true by the Nazir, and now it's true over here by the Shtei Alechem, which are functioning the same way. You have a Shlamim that is Mekadesh, the Alechem. For Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, active Zevach. Doesn't Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon have the word Zevach in the pasuk? What's he going to do with that? How we buy lake at the Rabbi Yochanan? He needs that for Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Rabbi Yochanan a komodim. The tzarich sheid lechem b'shat shechita. Even Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon agrees that you need the lechem there at the time of the shechita. So now, what you have here is a machloket Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. On the surface, or at face value, it just seems to be a machloket about how to interpret the pasuk by El Nazir, which is that pasuk by El Nazir that says the shlamim of the Nazir is mekadesh lechem. How do I read Yaseh Zevach? It's Yaseh Zevach, two different items. Asiyah, which would be Zrikat Adam, or all the other Siot, and Zevach would be the Shechita. Or do I read it as Yaseh Zevach? the only asiya which is shchita that is relevant over here, the only asiya that's relevant over here is shchita to be mekadesh the lechem. That's the way that Rabbi reads it. Now, more fundamentally, their machloket probably revolves around what they think is the driving force behind the kiddush alechem. For Rabbi, it is shchita that drives the kiddushat alechem, and then the zrikat adam just is what we call holds it in abeyance until the zrikat adam is done. Once you've done the zrikat adam, then that finishes off or completes the process which allows the shchita to be mekadesh alechem. But the zrikat adam itself is not per se imbuing any kedusha in the lechem. On the other hand, for a blessed Rabbi Shimon, you have two items that are matir lechem or mekadesh lechem, and that is both shchita and zrika equally are mekadesh lechem. One without the other, you don't have lechem that's kadosh whatsoever. You need both of them to make it kadosh. You can't make it half kadosh, half not kadosh, because shchita and zrika are both necessary in order to reach that point of kedusha. For Rabbi, the only thing necessary is shchita, but shchita by itself is not sufficient, because shchita is not the completion of the zevach. You need zrikat adam, you need a zevach that's kasher in the end. That's why you end up with their two opinions here. Again, even though it looks like it's a machloket about the drasha of the psukim, in other places in Shas, the Gemara does not quote this and seems to indicate that the argument here is about whether it's a matir echad or shnei matirim. But nevertheless, even within the context of the pasuk, you could explain the Rabbi and Rabbi Zerubi Shimon are arguing about this idea of what is mikadesh telechem, is it solely shchita? Or is it shchita and zrika? And again, even according to Rabbi, you still need the zrika to finish off what the shchita did, but not that it adds any additional kedusha. Tosfot here asks on the shita of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, Rabbi Shimon, who believes that kol omed lizareik kizaruk dami. Anything that's ready to be put on the mizbeach, zrika, we look at it as if it's done already. Anything that's omed to do something, we look at it as if it's completely done. So then why don't we say the same thing over here with regards to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Shita? He says that the lechem needs shchita and zrika to be kadosh. So Tosfot says, you did the shchita already. That means the dam is now ready for zrika to dam. So why don't we look at it as if it's done and the zrika's done and everything's fine? What? Hey, forgetting about lodishma, you didn't do it at all. It would be fine. So why does it make doing lodishma have any deficit? So the Tosfot brings the first answer, like what you're suggesting over here. He says, the teretz riva, Zrika shalolishma griya minishbakdam. That doing it shalolishma, negative kavana, is worse than not doing it at all. Had you done it with nothing at all, and then it would have been fine. Had you done nothing at all, it would have been as if it was zaruk. But now that you did shalolishma, you actually ruined it, that negative kavana. Tosfot goes on to prove that that's not true. That even when you have negative kavana, zaruk dummy still works. And therefore Tosfot gives two other answers, which are interesting. He says, yesh lechalek, shalolishma ukera kurban voseo kurban acher. So it's not just that you're doing a zrika psula, it's you're doing a zrika that actually changes the status of this korban to another korban. And it's not the same korban anymore. So therefore, you can't say that it was omei lizrok, zaruk dummy, because you actually changed the korban to a new korban. You're dealing with a totally new korban now, not the original korban. So that's one way that he answers it. Inami, he says, that hachi ba the meimar. That's what it meant to say over here. That as long, if you got it to the point where it was ready for zrika, even Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon would agree. Just here, you did the shchita, and you didn't get the dam into a vessel. You didn't get it to the point where it was ra'oy the zrika. But in Konami, had you gotten it to the point where it was ra'oy the zrika, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would agree that it would be sufficient to be mekadesh alechem in that case. Now that shchita, according to Rabbi, which creates this kedusha, is why he ends up with a situation when he says it's kadosh, ve'inu kadosh. It's partly kadosh and partly not kadosh. So what does that mean? So that's what Gemara says. My kadosh, ve'inu kadosh. Abaye amar kadosh, ve'inu gamur. It's kadosh, but not completely. Rava Amar, kadosh, ve'enu nitar. It's kadosh, but it's not nitar, l'achilata kohanim. Kohanim can't eat the bread like they normally would when it was done properly. Now, Gemara asks, my binayu, what's the difference between them? Both of them say that it's kadosh, but not kadosh. They both say that the kohanim cannot eat it, because even if you say it's enu gamur, it still means the kohanim can't eat it. So what exactly is the difference between enu kadosh gamur and enu nitar lekohanim? Ika b'nayu lemitpas pidjono. The difference between them is whether the pidjon takes effect over here, whether redemption takes effect. We'll read the Gemara now based on what the Girsa is in our Gemara. The Girsa in our Gemara is the first way that Rashi explains it. Rashi writes about this first explanation, shibush gamur huzeh. It's a complete mistake. And then he goes on to explain it by changing the Girsa. But we'll first explain it. He takes the time to explain it this way too. So we'll explain it as well, which is, the first one is, Abaye lo tafis pidjuno. According to Abaye, the pidjon does not take place. Meaning that the kedusha to shrei alechem don't have a full-fledged kedusha to the point where you can't switch them around. Which means that if you want to switch the monies or the lechem to another korban, it's totally fine. They are kadosh to the point where they have to be used for something that is kadosh. But on the other hand, you have a right to move it around. They're not locked in to be used with these kvasim or with this korban. You can move it to another korban if you want. The Rava, tafis pidjono. On the other hand, according to Rava, that it is a kiddush, gamur, it's just not nita the kohanim, then tofes pidjono biyotze the chulin. Then you can redeem them fully, and it can go out to chulin. So this is a concept that we saw in the Gemara Nazir, that sometimes you have something that has kiddusha, but the kiddusha level is not high enough. And since it's not high enough, you can't redeem it. You can only move kiddusha when it is significant enough that it is an entity unto itself, and then you can take that kedusha, move it, redeem it, place it onto other monies, and then with those monies, purchase something else. With those monies, then imbue the kedusha. You can move it from one object to the other through pidyon. So that works when the kedusha is strong enough. When the kedusha is too weak to do that, then you don't have an ability to redeem the kedusha because the kedusha itself is not significant enough or an entity unto itself that you can move through the redemption. So that's what's being said over here. Abayu says it's kadosh, ve'enu gamur. It's kadosh, but not so kadosh. Means that there's this diminished level of kedusha. That diminished level of kedusha doesn't allow you to redeem it or take it and change the kedusha. Take it off there, redeem it onto monies, and then use those monies to purchase something. On the other hand, it does allow you to move it around. You can move it from one korban to the other korban because it has kedusha, but not such high kedusha that is locked into this korban. The other hand, Rava believes that it's kadosh gamur, just you haven't successfully allowed it to be eaten by the kohanim. That higher level of kedusha allows you, first of all, to redeem it, because you can move the kedusha off the object itself. On the other hand, it does not allow you to change it from this korban to another korban without that redemption, because it has significant kedusha. That'll be the view of Abai and Rava. And then the Gemara will say about this, Bishlam al Rava, according to Rava, Einu de'ika ben Rabbi, the Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon. This is exactly the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi, you will be able to redeem the breads and then take the kedusha off the breads, eat them, and let them go to chulin. And then the monies will be used to purchase other items, other breads, to be mekadesh them. On the other hand, for Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, where there is no kedusha here, where there is no kedusha over here, then there's no redemption that's going to be done. Whereas Elul Abaye, according to Abaye, Ma'ika ben the Rabbi, the Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, you're stuck in a position where you can't redeem the breads, and they have some sort of kedusha that is associated with them. So according to Abaye, what's the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon's opinions? In the end, they both have the same outcome, which is you're stuck. You can't redeem them, and the kedusha is not high enough to allow you to continue on or to be mnitar l'kohanim. So he says, Ika benayu livsule biyotze. Question is, are they pasul biyotze? Meaning, was the kedusha significant enough now that if you take them out of the azara, you're going to be impacted by that fact? According to Rabbi, the shechita was mekadesh them sufficiently that if you take them out of the azara, then you're going to ruin the breads, or there's going to be a problem. On the other hand, for Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the shechita by itself or in and of itself is not significant. You need shechita and Zrika, in order to be Mekadesh Alechem, to the point where taking them out of the Asara is meaningful. And that'll be the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, according to Abaye. So that is the first way that Rashi brings the explanation of the Gemara, and that's based on the Girsa that we have here. And again, Rashi says over here, Shibush Gomer Hu. He says it doesn't make any sense. The Kol Shekein the Rava. The Kol, certainly, according to Rabbi, came into Kadashtan Shechitak Dushat Aguf Gemura, Lo Nafik Tulu Chulin. Rashi's main issue with that is that you made an assumption here, which is a true assumption, but that all assumes that you're still within the world of Kedushat Tamim. Within Hekdesh, you have two levels of Kedushah. You have Kedushat Tamim, which is monetary Kedushah, which means the value of the object has been Mikdash, to the Mikdash, to Hashem. And then you have Kedushat Aguf, which is there is inherent Kedushah in an item. And so, yes, Kedushat Aguf is always a higher level than Kedushat Tamim, because inherent Kedushah obviously is a much higher level than Kedushat Tamim. So, when we were describing it before, we said, well, if you have a high enough level of Kedusha, you can redeem it. If you don't have a high enough level of Kedusha, you can't redeem it. That's all true within the world of Kedusha Tamim. Once you reach the world of Kedusha Taguf, once something has inherent Kedusha, you can't redeem it anymore. The only way to redeem something that's Kedusha Taguf is it gets a mum in it. Like the way an animal that gets a mum, then you're allowed to redeem it. But if it doesn't get a mum in it, you have no right to redeem it. It's inherent Kedusha. It means you can't move the Kedusha. That's the meaning of inherent Kedusha. And that's what Rashi points out over here. It makes no sense that Rova is going to let you redeem this animal over here because he thinks there's a higher level of Kedusha. He thinks there's Kedusha to Gof, therefore you can redeem it. He says that doesn't make any sense. If there is Kedusha to Gof, then there's no way you can redeem it, and that means not Abaye nor Rova can allow you then to redeem it. And he says that's why that explanation makes no sense. And the Baalei Tosafot also agree with Rashi's view over here. And therefore, they agree with Rashi's switching of the girsa. And Rashi over here says, the Fikach Nira, the Rabbi, the Achi Garsinan, so he quotes in the name of his Rebbe, that the girsa should be changed. But Lashon Hagunhu, this is much more sensible. This is a much more logical way to have it. And he says it makes a lot of sense in the Gemara, which is, Le Abaye Tafis Pidjono. Just the opposite. According to Abaye, the Pidjon works. Ule Rova Lo Tafis Pidjono. And according to Rava, the pigeon does not work. The reason being, which is that when Abaye says Enu Gamur, meaning that it's not full Kedusha, it still remains with Kedusha Tamim, and it does not reach the point of Kedusha Taguf. That's why you can redeem it, according to Abaye. According to Abaye, you're at a level of Kedusha Tamim, you never successfully elevated to Kedusha Taguf, that's why it says it's Enu Gamur. It's Kedusha Tamim, not Kedusha Taguf. You have Kedusha Tamim, you have a right to redeem it, and that's why Tafis Pidjono, according to Abaye. Whereas according to Rova, where the Shechita is Mikadeshit, it is Mikadeshit to the point where there's inherent Kedusha. So what Abaye says is the Shechita elevates it to a Kedusha Tamim. But without the Zrika, you can't get to Kedusha Taguf, because then you haven't elevated to inherent Kedusha. And that's why it remains Kedusha Tamim that can be redeemed. Rova, on the other hand, says the Shechita is successful at imbuing a Kedusha Taguf. The Zrika would allow the Kohanim to eat it. Without the Zrika, the Kohanim can't eat it. But, at least at minimum, it's elevated to Kedusha Taguf. You're elevated to Kedusha Taguf, lo shayach pijon. Then there's no more redemption that can be done. Ve'im, hit pis, ma'ot, bepijono, enu nipasim. You try to redeem it now, it's not going to work, because you already have inherent Kedusha Taguf, that you do not have the right to redeem in this scenario. So now, if I continue to read the Gemara, in that vein, so then the Gemara says, Bishlam o the Rava, according to Rava, it makes sense now. I know what's the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabbi, you have Kedushat HaGuf. Whereas according to Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon, you only have Kedushat Damim. That's a significant difference. That's the difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi, according to him, is saying, we reached the level of Kedushat HaGuf, even though it's not Nital HaKohanim. Whereas Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon is saying, it's still Kedushat Damim, because you didn't get the two matirim there, it's not going to work. So that's the way Rava is going to explain it. But according to Abaye, where it's still Kedushat Damim, there's no distinction between them. Rabbi believes that it's Kedushat Damim, and Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Shimon also believes that it's Kedushat Damim. So then what's the difference between them? The answer is, Yotze, the fact that if you take it out, what's the impact of taking it out? Is there Shechita sufficiently impactful to say that Yotze is going to ruin this item? So that then the Gemara is going to bring that from another location to explain to us that issue of Yotze with regards to Rabbi. But first we're going to have a question, and then we'll get to this issue of Yotze, why it relates to us. So, by mine, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, mi Rav Chiya bar Abba. So, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak asked of Rav Chiya bar Abba, Kitse atzeret, shishachtam lishman, vizarak daman shalo lishman. So this is exactly our scenario over here, which is, if you shechted the kvasim lishman and then did the zrika dam shelo lishman, oto alechem ma'u ba'achila. Can you eat that lechem? So the Gemara is going to point out that this question seems moot from the beginning because we already addressed this. It is alibed aman. According to which Tana? He alibed the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, hamar zrika he demikadsho. He already told us that shechita and zrika together are what create the kedushan alechem. Here, clearly, if the Zrika failed, there's no Kedushat Lechem. There's no way that the Kohanim could be eating this Lechem, because it never attained the proper Kedushah, whereby it then would be Mutal Kohanim to eat it. So, the Lechem can't be eaten by the Kohanim. They're stuck at a level, at least, of Kedushat Damim. and maybe even something else, which they can't deal with. But if it's Kedusha Damim, it still needs to be redeemed. You can't eat the lechem. You can't just have the Kohanim eat the lechem until you've redeemed that lechem. On the other hand, Eliba the Rabbi, according to Rabbi, Ben the Abaye, Ben the Rabba, Kadosh, Veinu Nitaru. Both according to Abaye and Rabba, Rabba who says it's Kadosh, but you can't, Kohanim can't eat it. Abaye who says it's Kadosh, Veinu Gamur, still that Einu Gamur means you can't eat it. Because he agrees that the Kohanim can't eat it in this case. So then, according to neither of the Tanaim, is this question even relevant? Because there's no way the Kohanim could eat it. Not according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, not according to Rabbi. El Aliba de Hai Tano. According to this Tano. The Tani, Avua de Rabbi Irmia Barabba. This is somewhat of a comical expression that comes up in the Gemara a number of times. But there's probably a reason for that, which is here. It is, this is what the Braita that's brought by the father of Rabbi Irmia Barabba. Which means that it is Rabbi Abba. Because it's the father of Rabbi Irmia Barabba. But why do they express it that way? Why don't you just say Rabbi Abba? It could be for one of two reasons. Rashi and other places in Shas notes that they did this because the son was more famous than the father. So in order to identify the father, they use the son's name and they say, oh, it's the father of Rabbi Meir Baba, because it's, so that would be the same thing of today saying, oh, the father of Rabbi Yosef. Right? So that's not, nobody would speak to the father of Rabbi Yosef as a direct, name because it doesn't have any meaning out of that context. When you say, oh, the father of Rabbi Yosef, then you understand what it is. So even though, again, you could have just said his father's name, nevertheless, if you say the father of, it makes sense. So here too, maybe that's the reason. Or the reason is that there might have been more than one Rabbi Abba. And that also, this is a way to identify the Rabbi Abba that we're speaking about. Normally, we'd identify them by their father. But over here, again, maybe Rabbi Irmia, his son, was more well-known or was somebody that they could identify easily, and therefore they're identifying the Rabbi Abba. Yeah. So identifying Rabbi Abba that way. So that's the reason for this. Shtei lechem shetzu ben shchita lezrika. When you have shtei lechem that went out between the shchitat hashlamim and the zrikat adam leshlamim, v'zarak damam shel kvasim chutz lezmanan. And then at that point, they incorrectly or improperly do the zrikat adam, but chutz lezmano, which basically makes it into pigul. Rabbi Elazar Meir, ein b'lechem mishum pigul. Rabbi Akiva Omer, yesh b'lechem mishum pigul. So everybody agrees that with regards to the shlamim are pigul. Because you have a machshevet pigul with regards to the shlamim, you're going to eat them chutz lezmano. Question is, what's the impact on the lechem, with the machshava of the lechem? So, as far as the shlamim are concerned, they're standing in front of us, they're right here, does the shkita properly, and then he does the zrikat adam to eat them chutz lezmano. So clearly the shlamim is a problem of pigul. Question is for the lechem. The lechem, the question is, because it left. It's outside the azara. So now the issue is, can you have a machshava that impacts something that's already outside the world or outside the purview of where it's supposed to be? The azara is the location where this is supposed to happen, where all the processing of the korban is supposed to take place. Meantime, the lechem left, and they're no longer to be found here. So now the lechem are clearly problematic in the sense that they are not going to be eaten by the Kohanim. That's not the question over here, because they were outside the Azara, and the Korban Shlamim never worked out, because they did it in a way that made it into Pigul. Question is, or is that Lechem also Pigul, which has big implications in terms of Chiyuv Karet, if it's eaten, and other things that relate to Pigul that has to be Nisrap. I mean, those all would be a question mark for these Lechem. And that's what you have here, a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ein b'lechem mishum pigul. Rabbi Elazar says, the lechem leaves the area, done. It's outside the world of this korban. Now it's pasul. And once it's pasul, pigul doesn't take effect. Remember, when something's pasul, pigul can't go on top of a psul. The only way pigul works is when everything else is okay, and there's no psul. Whereas Rabbi Kiva Omer, yesh b'lechem mishum pigul. So Rabbi Kiva says, there is pigul over here, because even though the lechem went out with Yotze, it's still fine. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Hanei Tanei Kerabi Svirlehu. Both of these Tanaim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, hold like Rabbi. Damar Shchita Mikadsho. They believe that the Shchita is successful at being Mikadesh Lelechem. Miu, Rabbi Eliezer the Tamei. Rabbi Elazar is the Shitato. Damar Ein Zrika Mo'elet LeYotzei. And this is what I was talking about before, about the issue of Yotzei, which is how much impact can you have on something when it leaves? Or when something leaves, how much impact does that have on the item itself? Here, Rabbi Eliezer says that if you have a item of a korban that leaves before the zrikat adam is done, the zrikat adam no longer has any impact on that item. It will not help that item. obviously, again, it's not going to make the item mutar to eat, because the item itself is outside the purview of where you could be matir it. But nevertheless, it might free it of mi'ila, or it might allow it to become pigul. All of these items are relevant from that zrikat adam. Rabbi Kiva l'tamei, and Rabbi Kiva's l'shita do, the mar zrika mo'elet li'yotzei. The zrika does have an impact on yotzei. So that's the big issue here, is whether once the item is out there, how much connection does it still have to the korban that it started with? So according to Rabbi Kiva, there's still a strong connection there. That strong connection allows for two things. One is that zrika helps out the korban, releases it from mi'ila, even the items that are outside of the zarah at that time. And also, it will allow it to become pigul. I mean, both of those will be true. And on the opposite spectrum, you have Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon saying just the opposite. That once it leaves, it's so far out there that the zrika doesn't help it to release it from mi'ila. It will remain kadosh, and it does not release it from mi'ila. And number two is, it will not allow it to become pigul, because it's not connected to that korban anymore. It's not. And this is the Mishnah that indicates the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Emurei kodshim kalim, it should be familiar to us, we saw it before, back in the Gemara in Zvachim, which is that the emurim of kodshim kalim, the emurim, the fats of the kodshim kalim, are the only part of the kodshim kalim that become kadosh to the point where there is mi'ila. Until you bring the kodshim kalim all the way along, they're mamon balim, they belong to the owners, even though, and if they belong to the owners, there's no mi'ila. Mi'ila only is something that belongs to hekdesh, and you misappropriate it. If it belongs to you, then it's not an issue of mi'ila. Kochim Kalim, which are Mamon Balim, do not have an issue of Mila, except after the point of Zrikat Adam and the, I mean, Shchitat Korban and the Zrikat Adam, at that point, the Emurim are supposed to go on the Mizbeach. So that is Mikadesh, the Emurim, so that they end up on the Mizbeach, and they have a din of Mi'ila. Yeah, but that's not Mi'ila, because that's not belonging to Hekta. Only things that belong to Hekdesh can have Mi'ila, because then you can misappropriate Hekdesh. If it belongs to the Kohen, then there's no Mi'ila, because you can be stealing from the Kohen if you take it, but you're not Mi'ila. Mi'ila means stealing from Hekdesh, in a sense. Right? So that's what the question. So here, Emurim Kodshim Shiatzuli Fnei Zrikat Damim. They left before the Zrikat Damim. Reblezomer Ein Mo'alim Behen. There is no Mi'ila. Ve'ein Al Chayivin Alem Mishum Pigol Notar V'tameh. The Zrikat Adam has absolutely no impact on them. That means, number one, there will be no mi'ila. There'll be no trigger to make them mi'ila, because the zrika d'adam is what tells you that, or what forces you now to put the emurim on the mizbeach. This is not, in this situation, it's not going to happen, because the emurim are found outside the azara, and the zrika d'adam is taking place without them in the presence of the korban. That means that the zrika will not trigger the emurim becoming chayav and mi'ila. But it also has the other impact, which is, you won't be chayav because of pigol, notar v'tameh. Pigol v'notar v'tameh is the status of kodoshim after the zrikat adam is done. The basar that is allowed to be eaten by the kohanim or the baalim, they're subject to all these dinim. One is pigol. If there was a machshava chutz l'zmano, then that item cannot be eaten by the kohanim or by the baalim because there's a chiyuv karet that's associated with it. That's only true if the zrikat adam was effective enough to make the basar into pigol. Notar. It can only be notar if at some point it was released to be eaten by those that were there. And once it's released to be eaten by those that are there, then you can have notar, leftovers then of that item. Tameh, the restriction against eating the kodshim betumat haguf, when the person himself is tameh to eat the kodshim, is only if the kodshim were otherwise mutar to someone who was tahor, then it's restricted to someone who is tameh. So for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the zrikat adam is not effective to do anything. It's not effective in the negative sense. It doesn't make the emurim into mi'ila. But it's also not effective in a positive sense. You don't create the basar and all that to be nitar to the point where it has all these dinim of pigol, notar, v'tameh. So now, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that and says, mo'alim behen. The zrikah is successful at generating mi'ila over here, which means that once you do the zrikat adam, the emurim now are kadosh to the point where if you misappropriate them, you're going to be chayav and mi'ila. But it also has the other impact, which is chayav and mishum pigol notar v'tameh. All of these items will apply to them. Yav pigol notar v'tameh will apply to the basar. Now clearly, again, the basar cannot be eaten because the basar is already chutz le'azara. It's chutz le'azara, then it's already yotze. It's in a place where it's not permitted to be eaten. Since it's in a place where it's not permitted to be eaten, they're clearly not going to allow it or nitar le'achila. But pigul notar v'tameh could apply to these bris basar. And only question is, what is the additional restriction? With pigul, we know you're now upgrading it to karet. There's a chiyuv karet associated with eating it. So there's something significant that's changed over yotzei because of the chiyuv karet that is associated with it. The tumata guf also has karet. So that's, again, a higher level isur. The only question is, with regards to notar, how is notar an elevated isur versus yotzei? So some suggest that the fact that the notar either has impact on the korban or the basar that's internal to the azarah also impacts that which is external, and therefore it's not any isur chalal isur, or the fact that the notar is burnt immediately. The din of notar is it has to be burnt immediately, as opposed to yotzei, where you have to wait what's called tubar tsurato. You have to wait for it to go bad, you have to leave it overnight, and then you can only burn it later. So maybe that's an additional chumrah that makes that the isur is chalal isur. So clearly, again, it's already asur to be eaten. It's only a question of, did you elevate the isur now to the point where there's also a chiyub karet associated with it, or maybe other dinim that are associated with it. But from here you see that the din of yotzei and the question as to what the relevance of the zrika internally is on that which is yotzei is this machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. We've seen it here in this Mishnah, and then we saw it before in the explanation of the braita that was brought as to whether the pigul can affect the lechem when there's pigul on the korban. So all of those have to do with the yotzei. When it's outside the azara, what type of impact does the zrika tadam have on those items that are outside of the azara? And so now the Gemara explains what exactly the suffik was. Remember, the question all started out, can the Kohanim eat it? So what do you mean, can the Kohanim eat it? None of this seems to indicate that Kohanim can eat it. And that's what the Gemara is now going to explain the suffik here, which is, what is the din here with regards to the question that was posed by Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak to Rabbi Chir Ba'ava? This is the nature of the question, the nature of the suffik. Midzrikat pigol kavel alechem bipigol. According to Rabbi Akiva, where the zrika the dam of the keves and doing it in a way that makes the keves into pigol also makes the lechem into pigol. Biyotze kibasar zrika shalodishma nami shari lalechem. So just like by yotze the zrika the dam of the korban in a pigol way makes the lechem into pigol, so too Zrika shalolishma, nami, if you do the zrika dadam shalolishma by the kvasim, shari lalechem, that will release the lechem and make it mutar ba'achila. So, just like by the kvasim, if you do a shchita lishma and a zrika shalolishma, you do not have kivsei atzeret anymore because you did it shalolishma. On the other hand, you do have a kosher korban. Remember, kol ha-korbanot that are brought shalolishman, they are kshirim, velo altu lelo chova. They just don't work. The chovah is not released. It's not you don't discharge your obligation in any way. But on the other hand, the korban itself is a kosher korban. And so, too, over here, with the kvasim or kivsei atzeret, you're not successful at making kivsei atzeret or discharge your obligation vis-a-vis kivsei atzeret. On the other hand, you are successful at making it into a korban that can be eaten by the kohanim. So the question is, what impact does that have on the lechem? Just like the korban now can be eaten, so too can the lechem be eaten. Okay, you did it shalol lishma, so it's not kivsei atzeret, but it does make the korban edible and the basar edible. So too, the lechem should now be edible, similar to the case of pigul. When you had a machshevet pigul, when you did the zrika d'adam on the keves, it affected the lechem and made it into pigul. So just like there, it made it into pigul. So too over here, the lol lishma should make it mutar b'achila, just like the basar is mutar b'achila, the lechem should be mutar b'achila. That's one side of the safek. Or, Dilma l'chumra amina and l'kulo lo amrina. Maybe Rabbi Kiva only says it when it's l'chumra. Maybe he says that when you have a makshevet pigol on the basar, that will affect the lechem as well. But he's not going to say it in the other direction, which is l'kula. He's not going to say it when a case where you have lo lishma makes it mutar b'achila, that the lechem will also be mutar b'achila. Or in essence, Rabbi Kiva might have some sort of safek here. And when it's l'chumra, he'll say that it works. But when it's l'kula, he won't say that it works. So that's the suffik, or the nature of the suffik of Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak when he posed the question. According to Rabbi Kiva, can you eat the lechem? So now we have a question that goes to the core of the question, which is, Matkilo Papa, is there really a question over here? Umimai. Who says Dechi Itnu Evrai Plige? Who says that the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer is when the item is still outside? It's still outside the Azara when the Zrikat Adam took place. Dilma, Beitnuhu Evrai, the Kuliam Lopulige, Dain Zrika Moelet, Liotse. Maybe everybody agrees that when it's outside the Azara at the time of Zrikat Adam, then there's no impact whatsoever. Zrikat Adam is now separated, distinct from that item which is outside, and has no impact on it no matter what, not positively or negatively. Ben, Ubahadar Alainu, Pulige, the Machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva is when they bring it back in. So between the time of Shechita and Zrika, they took the Lechem out, they brought it back in, and then they did the Zrika Tadam. Question is, that Yotze, in the interim period, did that have a negative effect, deleterious effect on the Lechem to the point where it no longer is affected by the Zrika Tadam of the Shlamim, and the Zrika Tadam of the Shlamim is not going to do anything to it? Or do we say that the Yotze was not Puselet, because it was before Zrika Tadam, therefore when it's brought back in, at that point, you would have impact from the Zrika Tadam? Rabbi Lezer, Savarla Kirabi. Rabbi Lezer holds like Rabbi. Damar Shchita Mikacho. He thinks that Shchita is significant enough to be Mikadesh the Lechem to the point. But Ifsalu Yotze, when you take it out, you've ruined them. So the Shchita was sufficient in being Mikadesh the Lechem. You take the Lechem out now, the Lechem's Pasol. It went out of the area that it's in the Azara. You're not allowed to take it out of the Azara. You bring it back in. Doesn't matter. Yotze already is Pasol. There's nothing to talk about. Now, Pigle? Pigle can't affect things that are already Pasol. So that'll be the sheet of Rabbi Lezer. Be Rabbi Akiva, ke Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Akiva will hold like Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, damar, shchita, lo mikacho, velo mifsale biyotze. That shchita is insufficient to be mikadish the lechem, and therefore the lechem is not in an elevated status where it's not allowed to be taken out of the Azara yet. You need full kedusha for that to be the case. So when you took it out between shchita and zrika, it wasn't impactful. It was as if nothing happened. You took it out, you brought it back in. We're back to square one. There's nothing to discuss over here because there was no kiddush alechem that made it possible biyotze. And therefore now, when you do the zrikat adam, it's going to be impactful on the lechem itself. Kiddush adamim at least, but not kiddush adaguf. Kiddush adamim, there's no restriction about where you can take kiddush adamim. Kiddush adamim can be out in the cities, anywhere you want, because kiddush adamim just means value that's associated with ekdesh. Kiddush adaguf, inherent kiddusha, is what imbues the item to the point where now all these dinim or restrictions start to apply. And if you believe that you need Shkita and Zrika to imbue with Kedusha to Guf, that means that there's no Kedusha to Guf before Zrika to Adam. That's the case. There's no restriction against taking out of the Azara. And that would be the Shita of the Rabbi Akiva. So you made an assumption that they are both arguing within Rabbi's position. That's what the assumption of the question was, that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are arguing within Rabbi's position. And within Rabbi's position, they're arguing about what's the impact of the Kvasim on the lechem that's outside the Azara. That was your attempt to then to pose a question as to whether it was mutar b'achila, according to Rabbi Akiva, when you shecht it shelo lishma, the kvasim. But what Papa is saying is, how do you know that they're arguing within Rabbi? Maybe everybody agrees when it's outside, it's gone. There's nothing to talk about. Nobody thinks it's impactful when it's outside. The question here is, when you take it out and bring it back in, is that yotze impactful? Because of the fact that did the kedusha take place at the point of shechita, or did not take place at the point of shechita? That's machlok Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. But once you do that, there's nobody who's going to think that when you shecht the kvasim shelo lishma, that's going to be matir the lechem that's outside the azara. That's just not a question that's going to have or be meaningful now, because nobody thinks that yotze can be affected by a shechita of the korban. Here will not affect anything that's outside. It only affects things that are returned or brought back in. That has to do with the different machloket as to whether it's kedusha aguf or not kedusha aguf in the lechem. So that's what Papa's question. And where it says, hi, mai. You can't say that. Because, iamart bishlama, Rabbi Akiva, karabi svirle. If you say that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi, not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, as Rabbi Papa just suggested, damar shchita mikach lehu, that the shchita is sufficient in order to elevate the kedusha now, hainu dgamar Rabbi Akiva, to kachilu bishchita, That's why Rabbi Kiva says that the Shechita was Mekadesh them. Zrika, Kavau Lohu, Pibikul. And then the Zrika, the Dam, makes them into Pigul. Eliyamart, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Svirle. If you think he holds like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, which is the Shechita is nothing, Tamar Zvicha, Lo Mekadesh, that doesn't do anything to elevate it to Kedushat Aguf, Zrika, Pigul, Mi Mekadesh. Then how could the Zrika, the Dam, by the Zrika, the Dam, that is improper, how could that be Mikadesh it and be Mefagel it? Because now you're asking the Zrikat Adam to do two things at once. You're asking the Zrikat Adam both to be Mikadesh the Lechem and to make it into Pigul. Because according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the only way the Lechem becomes Kadosh is if it has both Shechita and Zrika. So now, in order for the Lechem to be Kadosh, you need a Shechita and a Zrika. Then you want the Zrika, which is Pigul, to make the Lechem into Pigul. Now you're asking a lot of Zrikat Adam right now. You're asking the Zrikat Adam to both be Mikadesh Lechem and be Mikfagalit at the same moment. That can't happen. The Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav, Zrikat Pigul, Enu Mevi'el Yedei Me'ila. Zrikat Pigul does not have impact on Kodeshim to elevate them to the point where you'll be Chayav and Me'ila. That means that they have Kedusha the Guf, and if you misappropriate them, now you're going to be Chayav. Ve'enu Motziah Me'idei Me'ila. It's also not successful at removing Me'ila. So Enu Mevi'el Yedei Me'ila, it doesn't bring them to Me'ila Be'emurei Kodeshim Kalim. That's by what we spoke about at the top of the Amud. Emurim Kodeshim Kalim, we have Zrikat Adam when they're outside the Azara. That's not successful at generating the Kedusha to the point where they will be Chayav and Me'ila now. Ve'enu Motziah Me'idei Me'ila, and it's not successful at removing them from Me'ila, V'basar Kodeshei Kodeshim. That's why Basar Kodeshei Kodeshim, which already belong to Hekdesh, they have to be Nita the Kohanim in order to get rid of the Me'ila. And the Zrikat Adam is not Matir them the Achilat the Kohanim, and therefore the Me'ila doesn't go away. So they're, according to Rav Gidol and Marav, they're telling you, if you have a regular Zrika, you can talk about a machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Where does it impact and take away Me'ila? Does it bring Me'ila? Is it effective on those items that are outside? Because that's a kosher Zrika. But their point is, if you do a non-kosher Zrika, there's nothing to speak about in terms of its ability to do something on the outside and impact items that are outside. It itself is problematic. If the Zrika itself is Pigul. So now, if that's the case, your explanation, Rav Papa, is untenable. Because your explanation now is making a demand that Rabbi Kiva holds that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon is going to have it that the Shechita wasn't enough to make the Lechem Kadosh. So now you took it out, you brought it back in, and now you want the Zrikat Adam, which is Pigul, to both be Mekadesh the Lechem and make the Lechem into Pigul? Can't do it. Zrika Pigul can't be Mekadesh the Lechem, and therefore there's nothing to discuss at this point. So now, that now upslugs Rav Papa's question on the question, and now we're back to the original safek that we had at this point. So now Gemara says, Lav itota Rav Gidol Merav? Wasn't Rav Gidol Merav's statement here undermined? Now the Gemara never brings where it was undermined or how it was undermined. They just make a statement of fact that Rav Gidol Merav, we got rid of that. Their statement that they made just happens not, it's not true. It's just not right. So once you do that, now you can reopen Rav Papa's suggestion, because Rav Gidol Merav is the biggest problem that he has right now, which is that a Zrika Pigor, Zrika Pasul, can't be Mekadesh the Lechem. But now we're saying that Rav Gidol Merav is not right, or they're not right, and therefore it works. Where they're not right, where they were undermined, is not clear. It's in the Gemara in the beginning of Me'ila, which we'll get to. And over there, the Gemara does ask questions, and poses questions against Rav Gidol Merav. But as the Bali Tosafot point out over there, it's not so clear that there wasn't an answer given in the Gemara. The Gemara in Me'ila, and he says, the lo chashiv shniua dahatam. Even though over there they give an answer, the Gemara here doesn't consider that to be a good answer. The Reish Me'ila, the Rapapahu demakshe lahatam, velo svir lehau shniua. Rapapah is the one who asked the question against Rav Gidol Merav there, and then the answer that's given is given by the Gemara. And Rapapah doesn't buy into the answer of the Gemara. And so even though the Gemara answered the question that was posed against them, Rav Papa is the poser of the question. Rav Papa clearly does not believe what Rav Gidol Merav says is correct. And then Rav Papa, the Shitato, also over here, will say the question, my question is still a valid question, because Rav Gidol Merav are not relevant. That means even a Zrika Pasul, or Zrika Pigul, can be Mekadesh the Lechem, and make it into Pigul simultaneously. And therefore, my question still stands. Why can't Rabbi Eliezer hold like Rabbi? Rabbi Akiva hold like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? And the argument is that when it left the Azara and came back in, that's the question at hand. If that's the case, then Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's question never gets off the ground, because there's nobody who believes that you can have Zrikat Adam internally affect something that's Yotze and impact it, even though it's not there or there's something wrong that's being done. Nevertheless, it can still impact it, and therefore you'd have a question about Lo Lishma impacting the Heter of the Basar, or the Heter of the Lechem, just like the Pigul would ruin the Lechem, even though there's a disassociation between them. So too, the Lo Lishma will create a heter achila for the lechem, like it creates a heter for basar. That question is all premised on our understanding that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva are arguing with then Rabbi. Rabbi Papa says that's not the case. You could create a different way to set up their machloket, and therefore the Gemara now is left based on Rabbi Papa's question with no question for Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. There is no question because you don't have to set up the Tanaim the way that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak suggested, which is that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer hold like Rabbi. On the other hand, you could explain it in the way Rav Papa did, and then this question never gets off the ground, which is that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi, and Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and then there's no more question here because there's no case where the status of the basar affects the status of the lechem. So just like it can't affect it negatively, it can't affect it positively, and the question's not a question. Okay, now we have another question. Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera the following question. Kivsei atzeret sheshachtan lishman. They shechted them properly. Ve'avad halechem. And then the lechem got lost. Ma'u shizirk daman shelo lishman latir basar b'achila. Can we go forward with a subpar performance of the mitzvah in order to release the basar? So now you had shechita of the korban. Shechita of the korban is mikadesh the lechem or associates the lechem with this korban in particular. That means if you lose the lechem now, you've lost the kivsei atzeret because the connection between them, as we saw before, shechita is koveya. That we saw before, that shechita is what brings the lechem and the kivsei atzeret together. And once they're nikva together, they cannot be separated. Since they can't be separated, that means that they're going to be pasul, one without the other. They're ma'akev each other. So it's clear here that you're not getting kosher kivsei atzeret because the lechem is gone and the kivsei atzeret can't be kosher. But I could salvage the situation. I could do that by doing the kivsei atzeret shelo lishma. If I do them shelo lishma, okay, I won't get kivsei atzeret, but at least I'll get a korban that can be eaten. It'll be the wrong korban, but it'll at least be kosher to be eaten by the kohanim and it won't go to waste. If I don't do that, I now have a korban pasul and lechem that's gone, which obviously is pasul, but now I have nothing. At least if I do it shlo lishma, I can rectify it partially. Zrika tadam, if I do it shlo lishma, we'll rectify it partially. That's the question that's here. So he says, can I do the zrika tadam shlo lishma? That's here, basar bechila. Amalacha, yesh lecha devar sheinu kasher lishmo, kasher shlo lishmo? He says, you have an absurd case here, which is if you continue to do the korban lishma, and you actually do the korban properly, it's going to be pasul. But if you do it improperly, it's going to be kasher. So, do you ever have a scenario where if you do it properly, you have a pasul korban, and then you do it improperly, and you end up with a kosher korban? He says, that doesn't make sense. If you do the zrikat adam, it's pasul, period, because the lechem's gone. If you do a lishma, the lechem's gone, it's pasul immediately. If you don't do zrikat adam, it's going to become pasul, because you never got any zrikat adam on the mizbech. So the end game for this, if you do it properly, or do nothing, is pasul. So now, if you do a low lishma, it's going to be kosher. He says, well, that's an absurdity, that you have a case where if it's done properly, pasul, it's done improperly to be kosher. Do you ever have paradigms like that? It says below, we have a case like that. Bari Pesach Kodem Chatzot. You have Pesach before Chatzot. Many point out that Kodem Chatzot is not really literally Kodem Chatzot. Because we actually saw this machloken in the Gemara in Zvachim, that if you have a Korban Pesach before Chatzot on the 14th, what is the status during that period of time? And there was a machlok between the Chachamim and Ben Beteira. And so therefore, the Gemara likely here is not dealing with that exact case. Kodem Chatzot is more a generic term meaning any other time of year. So you have a Korban of Pesach. If you bring it on the 14th and you shecht it as a Korban Pesach, it will be a Korban Pesach. Any other day of the year, if you shecht it as a Korban Pesach, pasul, because it's not the day of the Pesach. You shecht it shelo lishma, shlamim. It's fine. That's a great situation or paradigm for us. In the case where you do it lishmo, it's pasul. You do it shelo lishmo, it is kasher. And that's Pesach Kodem Chatzot, deinu kasher lishmo. Because share shelo lishmo. So now he reamends the question to deal with the problem. But your point is well taken, which is the Bali Tosafot say the Gemara in other places answers that question by just saying Pesach b'shari mot hashana shlamim, that a Pesach the rest of the year is a shlamim, and so it's really not, even though it's shelo lishmo Pesach, it's really part and parcel. A Pesach is a subset of shlamim, and therefore it's really a shlamim, and therefore it's not really a real proof because the lo lishmo, it's not really, it's low the shame Pesach, but the shame Shlamim, which it is anyway. That's how the Gemara answers it in other places. The Gemara here doesn't answer it that way. The Gemara just keeps reamending the question, which is here. He amends the question. He says, Achikamina, this is what I meant. Yesh lecha davar shenir eh lishmo, v'nidchem lishmo, v'enu kasher. Is there a case where something was set up to be lishma? Meaning you did the shechita lishma. It was set up in the right way. And then, if you do it lishmo, if you continue to process at lishmo, which is the zrika d'adam lishmo, enu kasher, lishmo, then it won't be kasher. Kasher shelo lishmo. On the other hand, if you do it shelo lishmo, it will be kasher. So here's a case where it was set up. It was a proper korban. It was ready to be the kipsei atzeret. And yet, if you continue to do it lishmo, pasul. If you do it shelo lishmo, kasher. Says below, we don't have a case like that. Very Pesach achar zmano. A Pesach after you passed the day of the 14th, when the Pesach was there, the Shayimot Hashana, that the rest of the year, or any time after the Pesach, if you shecht the Korban l'shem Pesach, pasul, you shecht it l'shem Shlamim, it is kasher, and there was Nireh. It passed through the afternoon of the 14th, when it could have been a Pesach. So it was at a time where it could have been a kosher Pesach, and you didn't opt for that. You move on, you do it l'shem Pesach, no good. You do it shalom l'shem Pesach, again, kasher. Tosafot here is where he asks the question. He just says, you could just say that Pesach b'shari mot shana is a shlamim and ain't okanami. It's not really shlo lishmo. Gemara will just deal with it a different way, but your question is valid here as well. So now, the Gemara says, okay, so you have a paradigm of that. He says, hachi kamina. This is what I meant. Yesh ledcha davar shenira lishmo v'nishchad lishmo. It's not just simply that this korban was ready to be done lishmo. It was that an action was taken that made it lishmo. You did a shchita lishmo already. It was pushed out of being lishmo because the lechem was lost. Veinu kasher lishmo, and therefore it's not kasher when you do the zrikat lishmo, because kasher shelo lishmo, and it's kasher when you do it lo l'shem korban. Where do you ever have that where you're engaged to korban? Not just that it passed the date when it was kasher, it went through a time period when it was kasher. It actually had an action taken, shchita was taken that brought it into the world of lishmo. And then if you continue on lishmo, it's no good. But if you do it shelo lishmo, it is fine. Do you ever have a paradigm like that? My says below. Very toda. We do have a paradigm like that, which is shiny toda. The Gemara says by toda, by korban toda, which we just discussed previously in the Gemara. By korban toda, if you bring the korban toda shelo lishmo, then the korban itself is kasher, even though the lechamim are not good. Which is that if you have a problem with the korban and you do it shelo lishmo by the toda, we said before that mashlamim karve below lechem, af toda karva below lechem. Just like shlamim can be brought without the lechem, so too the todah can be brought without the lechem. That means if you shechted the todah when the lechem was there, and then the lechem got lost. Same problem that we have here with the kipsei atzeret. The lechem got lost. What should you do? Gemara says that you continue on and you shechted l'shlamim. You shechted shelo lishmo. Lo l'shem todah, l'shem shlamim, and it works. The korban's fine as a shlamim. You didn't discharge your obligation with the todah, and the lechem's gone. And that works. That's exactly our scenario. You found the exact same case, and it works. You have a todah that you shechted lishmo with the lechem there. Lechem disappears. We tell you, make it into a shlamim, and you can eat it as a shlamim. So that's our case too. Why can't you just make it so it's, here it's not going to be shlamim. You do it shalom lishmo, l'shem Allah. You do it for some other korban, and it'll be fine. Why can't you do that in this scenario, just like you do it by the todah? The answer of the Gemara is, shani todah, derachmona kariyei shlamim. That's exactly the issue, which is that a todah is a subset of shlamim. In essence, a todah is a shlamim plus. It's a shlamim plus lechem. So if the lechem disappears, it just goes back to being a regular shlamim. It's still a shlamim with lechem. So now when you lose the lechem, it just goes back to being a shlamim. It doesn't attain or maintain that higher status. That's not true, but it keeps the etzeret even though they are shlamim. Even though they are shlamim, it's not true because they are shlamim of kodshei kodoshim. They're not regular kodshim kalim, and therefore they have a different status. They're not like regular shlamim where you can say, oh, it's like a todah. Otherwise, you'd say it's like a todah, and they too. They're an enhanced shlamim. They're shlamim with lechem. You lose the lechem, it just becomes a regular shlamim. That's not true. Because by kodshei kodashim, there is no such thing as a shlamim kodshei kodashim. There's only one shlamim kodshei kodashim, and that are the kipsei atzeret, that are brought in atzeret, and they come with lechem. There's no plain shlamim that's kodshei kodashim. By the todah, they're both kodshim kalim. So there's a plain shlamim that's kodshei kalim, and there's a plain todah that's kodshim kalim. So therefore, it can move back and forth between them. But by the kipsei atzeret, it can't do that. And therefore, if it doesn't have the shtei lechem, the kipsei atzeret are no good. All right, we're going to stop here, two lines from the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet.